Happy Monday, everyone. Today is February 8th, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. First and foremost, I want to congratulate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their Super Bowl win last night. Without any further ado, let's get started. In 1882, the last bare-knuckle boxing champion, John L. Sullivan, knocks out Paddy Ryan in Mississippi. In 1884, the Canadian Rugby Football Team Union forms. In 1893, Vanderbilt University claims it participated in the first organized intercollegiate basketball game at the Nashville YMCA Gymnasium. Vanderbilt beat the YMCA 9-3. In 1908, Philadelphia A's manager and owner Coney Mack sells future baseball Hall of Fame pitcher Rube Waddell to the St. Louis Browns for $5,000. In 1942, the first indoor 15-foot pole vault is performed by Cornelius Warmden. In 1949, Joe DiMaggio becomes the first $100,000-a-year baseball player for the New York Yankees. In 1958, the Dodgers officially become the Los Angeles Dodgers. In 1959, Dorothy Rigney sells the White Sox to Bill Veeck for a reported $27 million. In 1969, Diane Crump becomes the first woman jockey at a major U.S. racetrack. In 1973, the New York Rangers shut out the New York Islanders for the first time ever in a 6-0 win. In 1976, Toronto center Daryl Sutter sets an NHL record with 10 points in a Maple Leafs 11-4 win over the Boston Bruins at the Maple Leafs Garden. He scored 6 goals and had 4 assists in the game. In 1987, U.S. Male Finger Skating Championship is won by Brian Boitano. And in 1992, Mike Tyson testifies in his rape trial. We'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around, and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today, we'll be covering the career of a man who some people know for having one of the greatest hitting streaks in baseball history, and some people know him for being married to the famed actress Marilyn Monroe. Today, we'll be talking about the career of the great Joe DiMaggio. DiMaggio made his major league debut on May 3rd, 1936, batting ahead of Lou Gehrig in the lineup. The Yankees had not been to the World Series since 1932, but they won the next 4 fall classics. Over the course of his 13-year major league career, DiMaggio led the Yankees to 9 World Series championships, where he trails only Yogi Berra in that category. In 1939, DiMaggio was nicknamed the Yankee Clipper by New York Yankees announcer Arch MacDonald when he likened DiMaggio's speed and range in the outfield to the then-new Pan-American airliner. DiMaggio was pictured with his son on the cover of the inaugural issues of Sport magazine in September 1946. In 1947, the Boston Bruins owner Tom Yawkey and Yankees GM Larry McPhail verbally agreed to trade DiMaggio for Ted Williams, but McPhail refused to include Yogi Berra in the trade. In the September 1949 issue of Sport, Hank Greenberg said that DiMaggio covered so much ground in center field that the only way to get a hit against the Yankees was to, quote, hit him where Joe wasn't, unquote. DiMaggio also stole home 5 times in his career. On December 7th, 1949, DiMaggio signed a contract worth $100,000, roughly $1,070,000 in current terms, and became the first baseball player to break $100,000 in earnings. By 1950, he was ranked the second-best center fielder by Sporting News after Larry Doby. After a poor 1951 season, various injuries, and a scouting report by the Brooklyn Dodgers that was turned over to the New York Giants and leaked to the press, DiMaggio announced his retirement at the age of 37 on December 11, 1951. Through May 2009, DiMaggio was tied with Mark McGwire for third place all-time in the home runs over the first two calendar years in the major leagues at 77, behind Phillies Hall of Famer Chuck Klein at 83, and Milwaukee's Brewer Ryan Braun, 79. Through 2011, he was one of seven major leaguers to have had at least four 30 home run, 100 RBI seasons in their first 5 years, along with Chuck Klein, Ted Williams, Ralph Kiner, Mark Teixeira, Albert Pujols, and Ryan Braun. DiMaggio holds the record for most seasons with more home runs than strikeouts, a minimum of 20 home runs, a feat he accomplished seven times, and five times consecutively from 1937 to 1941. DiMaggio could have possibly exceeded 500 home runs and 2,000 RBIs had he not served in the military during World War II, causing him to miss the 1943, 44, and 45 seasons. DiMaggio might have had better power hitting statistics had his home ballpark not been Yankee Stadium. During that time, the house that Ruth built, its nearby right field favored the Babe's left-handed power. For right-handed hitters, its deep left and center field made home runs almost impossible. Mickey Mantle recalled that he and Whitey Ford witnessed many DiMaggio blasts that would have been home runs anywhere other than Yankee Stadium. Bill James calculated that DiMaggio lost more home runs due to his home ballpark than any other player in history. Left center field went as far back as 457 feet, where left center rarely reaches 380 feet in today's ballparks. Al Gianfrido's famous catch in the 1947 World Series, which was close to 415-foot mark in left center, would have been a home run in Yankees' current ballpark. DiMaggio hit 148 home runs and 3,360 at-bats at home versus 213 home runs and 3,461 at-bats on the road. His slugging percentage at home was .546, and on the road, it was .610. DiMaggio became eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1953, but he was not elected until 1955. The Hall of Fame rules on the post-retirement induction waiting period had been revised in the interim, extending the waiting period from 1 year to 5 years, but DiMaggio and Ted Lyons were exempt from the rule. DiMaggio told Baseball Digest in 1963 that the Brooklyn Dodgers had offered him their managerial position in 1953, but he turned it down. After being out of baseball since his retirement as a player, DiMaggio became the first hitting instructor of the newly relocated Oakland Athletics from 1968 to 1971. DiMaggio's most famous achievement is his MLB record-breaking 56-game hitting streak in 1941. The streak began on May 15th, a couple of weeks before the death of Lou Gehrig, who had been DiMaggio's teammate from 1936 to 1939. When DiMaggio went 1-for-4 against Chicago White Sox pitchers Eddie Smith. Major newspapers began to write about DiMaggio's streak early on, but as he approached George Sisler's modern era record of 41 games, it became a national phenomenon. Initially, DiMaggio showed little interest in breaking Sisler's record, saying, quote, "I'm not thinking a whole lot about it. I'll either break it or I won't," quote. As he approached Sisler's record, DiMaggio showed more interest, saying, "At the start, I didn't think much about it, but naturally, I'd like to get the record since I am this close." On June 29, 1941, DiMaggio doubled in the first game of a doubleheader against the Washington Senators at Griffith Stadium to tie Sisler's record, and then singled in the nightcap to extend his streak to 42. A Yankee Stadium crowd of 52,832 fans watched DiMaggio tie the all-time hitting record at 44 games on July 1st. The next day against the Boston Red Sox, he homered into Yankee Stadium's left field stands to extend his streak to 45, setting a new record. DiMaggio recorded 67 hits in his 179 at-bats during the first 45 games of his streak. DiMaggio continued hitting, reaching 50 straight games on July 11th against the St. Louis Browns. On July 17th, at Cleveland Municipal Stadium, DiMaggio's streak was finally snapped at 56 games. DiMaggio batted 408, during the streak with 15 home runs and 55 RBIs. The day after the streak ended, DiMaggio started another streak that lasted 16 games. The distinction of hitting safely in 72 of 73 games is worthy of mention. The closest anyone has ever come to equalizing DiMaggio is Pete Rose, who hit safely in 44 straight games in 1978. During the streak, DiMaggio played in 7 doubleheaders. The Yankees' record during the streak was 41-13-2. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe however you're listening to us. And don't forget to like and follow us on all social media. We can be found at Sport History Pod. Again, that's at Sport History Pod. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics for the introduction music, and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.